Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks for Wednesday, August 28th. I'm Sanka Price, and I'll be with you until 2 p.m. Our producer is Michelle Brathwaite. Her soothing voice will be the first you hear when you call us today at 43-41-790 to share your concerns and perspectives on national issues. You can also share your thoughts via WhatsApp at 266-4862. There's a lot to talk about, but I'd like to focus first on the Democratic Labour Party. On Saturday, Ms. Verla DePisa was re-elected on the polls to serve another year as president. She has a number of programs going. And one of the names associated with that election was Mr. Stephen Lashley, the former Minister of Culture. I have Stephen on the line. Stephen, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you. Hi, morning. Your name was associated with that election, but you actually did not put your name up for to contest the presidency, did you?
No, I didn't. The process that I thought to explain to your listenership, I believe it was done during one of your newscasts. The process of the election of officers in the Democratic Labour Party is pretty straightforward. The branches, of course, have the opportunity to nominate anybody that they believe they want to support going forward towards an election. And not only this year, but last year, several branches would have nominated me. You know, at the stage of a nomination, that's all that it is the nomination. And the process is that once, of course, the annual conference is approaching and nominations have been completed, whoever is nominated is contacted and they're offered the opportunity of determining whether they wish to accept the nomination or not. If they accept the nomination, then of course, and it goes towards a vote at the annual conference, then it's at that point that you have a contest or a vote. So there can be no pulling out of anything if, in any particular scenario, as in my case, you choose respectfully, as I did, not to accept the nomination. That does not mean that on future occasions you don't accept the nomination, but on that occasion I did not accept the nomination, and the process continued. I think, unfortunately, what came out in relation to, as I understand it, a media release from the party gave the impression that there was some kind of withdrawal from a contest or an election. There was no withdrawal. There was simply what would have occurred was simply that I did not accept a nomination, which is normal. There are many persons who would have opted for whatever reasons not to accept a nomination. But no heavy weather is made of that, and it was a bit surprising that heavy weather was made of it on this occasion.
Maybe that's because a number of branches nominated you, and you're being seen as the quote-unquote dark horse in the race to lead the party.
Well, I must say I often would speak to the various persons at the branch level, because I think when branches nominate you, it really signals, excuse me, it is a vote of confidence in you, and I'm very honored, of course, to have been nominated by the branches. But there come a point in time when, in fact, maybe the thinking of the branches in terms of what they want to happen may gel with yours or whatever the almighty destines to happen. But, you know, it is a vote of confidence. But, of course, you know, it has to do with, you know, what one wants to do at any one point in time.
What do you make of the fact that Adriel Brathwaite failed to topple Gyson Mears as General Secretary? And if I understand correctly, James Paul, he was also not successful when he ran for vice president. What do you make of that? Is it a case that some of the members are still not ready to accept persons from the last administration?
I don't make anything of it except that perhaps the individuals didn't campaign hard enough. I don't make anything of it, Sanka. I believe that, you know, it isn't smack to me of the general membership don't want to accept anybody. I think it has to do with, you know, what those individuals, how they would have, you know, launched their particular campaigns or the effort or whatever they would have put into it. But I wouldn't make any heavy read of that. I think we have a fairly decent process in the party, a democratic process. And like any election in which people contend, persons have to, if they really want to get their numbers, they have to get the numbers through the door to vote for them.
Mm-hmm. So what was the advice you would give Ms. Verda de Pisano? Because I know that you're a communicator. You have been, you're good on the ground. I've seen you at work and I've known you for too many years. So what sort of advice, are you happy with what is happening in the party right now in terms of the whole rebuilding, and what sort of advice would you give to Ms. De Pisa going forward, what she can do or not do?
I think my view on this has to do with my view for Barbados and where the Democratic Labour Party fits within the scheme of the political development of Barbados. The party would have, scored a significant, defeat about just over a year ago. And the process of rebuilding the party will take some time and effort. But the country itself has to be sounded out in relation to getting back to the basics. I think I would want to know, for example, how the country perceives the Democratic Labour Party, not only in relation to how it looks now, but what would have happened in 2018. I think it would be a mistake to somehow forget that the country spoke in 2018, and it did it for a number of reasons. We have to be able to examine those reasons carefully, and I'm of the view that, the examination of those issues have to be done, not necessarily behind closed doors, but it has to be done where the public of Barbados is involved in that examination. I mean, and the views of the public will most likely, many of them will be very telling, because indeed the public voted to totally reject all the candidates of the Democratic Labour Party only just a year and a few months ago. And I think we have to be able to understand that, and in order to understand where we're going forward. Having said that, we have to understand that there are current issues facing Barbados, both of an economic and social nature. And we have to be seen as being on the side of the people. It makes no sense being perceived to be an opposition that only opposes. I think, based on my understanding of modern political activity, Barbados will respond to me more positively where you temper criticism with ideas. I think our country needs today a whole set of ideas. And if you can come up with ideas and solutions that benefit Barbados, I think that certainly would resonate with the public of Barbados. It is certainly the approach that I would prefer, or even to suggest. There are a host of difficult issues, and the reality about those issues is that you cannot divorce the Democratic Labour Party in government over the last 10 years from many of the issues that are impacting the Barbados political landscape today. So there's a measure of responsibility that the party has to assume for quite a number of those issues. But the party has a bigger obligation and a bigger responsibility, and that obligation is to Barbados. It is not that you give an idea and even if the government implements it, that you feel as though you're giving the government some advantage. I think the country is required to come up and give ideas. Opposition parties, including the Democratic Labour Party, has got to give ideas. And if the government can implement an idea that redounds to the benefit of the people of Barbados, I think that is really what the people, not only the people of Barbados would want, but that is speaking towards Barbados. So I think going forward, not only the Democratic Labour Party, but all political contenders who are seeking to make an impression on the realities facing Barbados, is that we have to think Barbados. We have to think, what is the picture, what is the contribution that everybody has to make towards improving and making Barbados a better place.
Taking you back to the point you just made about the rejection, we're talking about the May 24th, 30 love, or 30 white, 30 nil white, red wash, as some people term it. Are you suggesting that the party needs to hold an open forum, maybe a couple of town hall meetings, one in the north, one in the south, where they let people talk freely about what went wrong? Are you suggesting
I think that is one of the mechanisms that could be adopted, because in a sense, you know, it is you can't want for a better flow of communication except in an open forum where people can speak their minds. I mean, people can speak their minds. I think the beneficiaries of that openness would be the Democratic Labour Party in terms of its improvement of its systems and improvement of its policies. I think Barbadians will respect that if they're able to give their
own. So why is there this resistance? Because I remember sometime a few months ago, you made a suggestion that the party should do this, should be more open, and should try to find out what went wrong, why Barbadians rejected them. And Bobby Morris, who was the campaign manager for the party during the election, he basically rejected the idea, if I remember correctly. I'm speaking on the correction here, but I think he rejected that idea.
Well, you know, that's the beauty of political parties. We have different views, and I am tend to be one who is very tolerant of alternative.
Or is it a case of one person's old school and one person is more progressive in thought? No, I mean let's be realistic. It's a certain demographic. You are known to be much more progressive in thought, while Mr. Morris would come from literally the old school.
Right. And what I think has to obtain. I believe perhaps one of the mistakes that we would have made in the past is that we have not tried to enter into open dialogue and sharing of views. I think if you share a view that is contrary to somebody else, it doesn't mean that you don't have the interests of the party or the country at heart. Mm-hmm. I think we are at a stage, even in Barbados generally, where I think it is healthier for our democracy, where all ideas are able to contend. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe that in terms of moving forward, that we have to open up ourselves to more of the thinking and ideas of particularly the younger generation, those young people who have things to say that have not been said. I think we can benefit from hearing from them as we seek to rebuild the Democratic Labour Party. We have to be more open in that, and we should not be so quick to criticize somebody who may have a contrary view. And I think that is perhaps one of the reasons why we did not fare very well in the last election. The party needs to modernize the thinking that exists among some people, that if somebody criticizes that, they don't have your interests at heart. I believe mature political activism requires divergency of views, but at the same time, a unity of purpose that will then connect with the broader purpose of moving towards the further development of Barbados.
Mm-hmm. Just let me share this WhatsApp with you. Good morning. I am not a Dem, but I wanted him to lead the party. So that's kudos to you. So at least you're getting some support here on the WhatsApp. Stephen Lashley, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to clarify. And of course, I remain open to being available to discuss issues of national importance that I think other persons should be as well.
All right. Thank you. Now, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, hello. Good morning, Mr. Price. How are you, sir?
I am well. And how are you?
Not bad. I like the conversation. Yes, now let's continue along the path, along the veins that
the path of progress.
The path of reconstruction, the Democratic Labour Party.
Okay. The path to progress was the theme of one of the manifestos, which I can't remember now, but I can actually see it in front of me, by the way.
In order to get progress, you have to start again. You have to start back fresh again. But this is what I would advise Mrs. DePisa. There are problems in the country, facing the country, and she needs to address some of these problems. Again, there's a problem with the nurses complaining not being paid for 3 or 4 months. Mr. Price, explain to me, why would that continue to happen up to last month?
Well, sir, that was going on for the last 30 years. It is ridiculous. Hold on. I spoke to this on Sunday, and I would always maintain that it is scandalous that this foolishness continues after 30 years. I remember writing stories about that back in the early 90s. I remember because and this thing has gone on through administration after administration. They didn't have SmartStream then. They had some other system. Then they had another system. Then they bring in SmartStream. It is scandalous that this thing continues. And nobody is coming to say why it is happening. And this is right across the board. This is not a political issue. This is a systemic issue within the government apparatus. And it needs to be fixed. It is ridiculous. The head of the civil service should be dealing with this because clearly this is a systemic problem. It is scandalous.
The secretary, Mr. Shidisa, just tell me something. What is the problem with Sam Lawrence Castle? Is that project still going on or that project has been stopped?
Well, we have to find out the answer to that. The thing about it is that project was problematic from the time it started. The way it was conceived, everything, if you recall all the problems, you may have a little amnesia, I know, but when it comes to that. But from the very beginning, and now that you spent, based on the report, $84 million, then we've stalled. Now, I mean, really, you know? Because at the end of the day, we are stuck with a bill.
Of course.
Okay. We are stuck with a bill. But let me also say, sorry, I can give you a chance now. Let me also say that what happened here at Sam Lawrence Castle with that project is similar to other things that I've read about that have happened across Africa and Asia with Chinese projects.
Oh, dear.
Okay?
Oh, dear.
I'm not trying to score any lashes here on the Chinese, far from. But the whole point about it is something that is familiar. There's something very familiar about it when you read about some of the things that have happened in the Congo and Nigeria and other places that they have had certain types of projects. They bring in their workers. There's this to and fro, and then all of a sudden, something happens and they pull out, and there's all these questions asked, and then they have a white elephant. You know, so it really needs to be clarified. And I guess as soon as possible, we'll be trying to get the somebody from the president administration to say exactly what is going on. But clearly, the Chinese should have also a say on this because it is a Chinese project.
Of course.
Money came from them that we have to pay back.
Of course.
I don't know if you pay taxes. you might be retired, but certainly, you know, I pay a lot of taxes, and I am not amused at all.
No, it sounds to me like a joke. Mm-hmm. I hear you make a statement here, and I agree with your statement, where you say that you were going to give the citation up to December for this new trial.
End of the year.
December. Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Mm-hmm. And I can agree with that. I can live with that. And after December, then you will kick up your storms.
Of course, because wherever you go in Barbados, garbage pile up.
Oh, dear. You know, don't talk about that.
We look. Forget the Sanitation Service Authority right now. They have their own problems in terms of lack of trucks, okay? But we as Barbadians, we have to take responsibility for everything that's happening here, you know. We can't blame the government. We can't blame the opposition, the real opposition, as far as it's concerned, is the Democratic Labour Party. We can't blame anybody else but ourselves because of the way we dispose our garbage.
I like that point you made. The real opposition is that of the Democratic Labour Party. What draw you to that that conclusion that the opposition leader is not the real one?
Constitutionally, is. Well, just stick a pin there. We have to take a commercial break. Do not go anywhere, okay? Welcome back to Brass Tacks. Are you still there, my friend?
Yes,
you were saying. You were making a point. I was making a point. 22.7% of Barbadians voted for the Democratic Labour Party in the last election. That's 33,000 people. I've always maintained the view that those persons should be heard and they should be the ones who should be represented in the House. I personally believe in proportional representation. I do not like the first-past-the-post system. I never did. And if we had proportional representation, we would have had at least one or two representatives from the Democratic Labour Party within Parliament. Now, constitutionally, Mr. Joe Atherley is the leader of the opposition because he could cross the floor and take it up. We have no power of recall in our constitution, so that if you cross the floor, that you have to, it will trigger a by election or anything. So he is, as far as the constitution go, he is legal. He is the quote unquote opposition leader. But I mean, but let's be realistic. The Democratic Labour Party has 64 years. They have been here with us. They have done a tremendous job in helping to build this country. And therefore, they have a say in what is happening in this country.
Of course.
I had Stephen Lashley on just now, as you would have known. And it is this type of critical thinking that we need to hear for this country, because we only got one country, you know. We need to get the best brains always putting forward some sound ideas, not just being critical, you know, criticizing for criticizing's sake, but actually being being constructive in whatever we say, so we can put forward their own ideas as well. That is what we need to develop this country. The people of Barbados are not stupid, all right? They know they want a better country. They want a better way of life. And they felt aggrieved with the way how things were going, and that's why they voted out the Democratic Labour Party. But people,
right.
And the victory that was achieved because people who would normally have voted DLP changed and voted for the Bs.
Right.
Because they too were dissatisfied. And that is
people.
Right. And that is, but that is why Mr. Lashley's, let's say Stephen, because there are three Lashleys in the DLP. So let's say Stephen. That's why Stephen's ideas of ways of having an open forum where people can express clearly what went wrong, well, as far as they're concerned, went wrong with the DLP is so important. And, you know, it would be good to see that being embraced.
But I tell you something, if young people for the next 5 years don't get what they want, you might have the DLP might not win, but I am sure they are going to get more support than they had at last elections. And there are seats that we need to be grabbed up. You can look at St. Michael West. That could go anywhere. St. Michael Central, and St. Michael Central is one of the seats that I think is going to be the first loss for the Barbados Labour Party, because the young people were hard land and on the air. They're dissatisfied with every representation.
If you live out there, right? You live out there?
Of course.
Good. Why are they dissatisfied?
Jobs. They were waiting on these lot of promises that was promised to them around election time. And I'll be there, they're doing the same thing, sitting down, smoking, and sitting down.
Well, that's the first problem that they have. They're smoking and scrambling the brains.
That's right.
Okay, that's their first problem. But apart from that, where they can get the jobs from, the jobs can only... You could be... But you're not promised. I don't even need to say my gossip.
Listen. I give this one before I go. Mr. Colin Jordan promised a lot of people in St. Peter, the young boys and the young girls, know their jobs where these hotels go up and where these businesses have been established. But what the politicians forgot to tell him, that you need to get qualified. You don't get jobs like that. And whenever those places, those go up in St. Peter, you realize that most of the people working there come from St. Peter anyhow. So you cannot keep on just promises are, like my boy said, culture and arts is the way to go. But if you are an artist in Barbados and sell a piece of work, how much pieces of work you could sell in a week? tell me.
Well, you see, you got to create the whole environment for that, for get people to come here internationally, because I don't think locally there's a great appetite for art.
That's right. All right, thanks, Saga.
All right, man, you have a great day. Huh? It's a wonderful Wednesday. It's really beautiful and warm outside, so try to take a walk and enjoy the day. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today, sir?
I don't spice on enjoying the sea.
You're going to take a dip, I guess
perusing, looking for things that need to be put right. But here right now, the only thing that need to be put right is that jetty. But otherwise than that, down here, beautiful. see calm and clear. It's a pity that many people get a lot of hatred and one fight one another. They don't take a look at nature, you know. Mm. Just looking at nature would calm it down. I'm telling you, mm-hmm. it would calm it down. It's like a kind of therapy. But people are too busy planning and plotting to destroy one another to look at these simple things that God has given us. Mm-hmm. And rather than reinforce it, you have to finally give us, but they won't take it. Mm-hmm. I am calling on the Minister of Public Works to please do something about that junction at Westmoreland where those three people have lost their life. I have heard of plans and being made to do something about it. But I want to tell the people that are planning, including the minister, that when these plans are being made, people still have to cross that road, putting their life at risk. I cannot understand, for the love of me, how you can pull a highway through residential areas and not put provisions in place for people to cross in safety. And yes, traffic lights might be aware, but I don't traffic. I call a lot of idiots now using the road that run red lights. I see the safest thing is to separate the pedestrian from the traffic. You see, we see that sidewalk going up from Government House right at the Spring Memorial School.
Yeah.
I will wish, right, especially where you are going through Rock Bluff, Cut Rock, as people call it, rather than put the sidewalk as normal, that you elevate the sidewalk. Similar to what, it may not necessarily have to be that height, with a protective railing, so that nothing can reach the pedestrian. We got to, I hear people saying expensive, and you know, these kind of things annoy me. Taxes are collected by people paying. Every person that dies, there's one less taxpayer. It is the people's money. And this present minister, whenever you're talking about anything, he's always talking about money, money, money. You got to do better than that, Mr. Duguay. You have to, you are responsible, whether directly or indirectly, for the safety of the Barbadian public. And I wish that you would do something about it. If you don't, if you're not doing your job, not only you, anybody who's not doing the job they're being paid for, I feel it should be relief of the duty. That's how I feel. And this is not about party politics. It's about human beings. Then you see the old people trying to get the young people exposing themselves to great danger. It's unfair to them. I passed through there this morning and I witnessed it again. Not a death, but people struggling to cross that road. And they were what the people write some kind of petition and put some pressure on that particular minister. You can't rely on the prime minister to do everything. That's why you all were put there to assist her, to make things easier for her. Because that's all they are.
Fair enough.
And I'm sure, and I well, before I forget to, you see that Jadar terminal?
Mm-hmm. You mean the one here in River Road?
Yeah. You see that plot that was hastily put there?
Yeah.
I think it needs removing, right? And this is what I think should be put there, as with the improvement to the canal, right? It is not fair to me that a political party starts a project, they're kicked out of office, someone else come along and finish it. But I think what should happen with that terminal, started by blah blah the Honorable Minister Michael Ashley and finished by who have replaced him. Because he didn't finish it. Just at the canal, that thing started with Independence Square. They must admit that when they were transforming Independence Square, I was annoyed. But it's one of the most beautiful places in town. No. That, too, should be started by the Honorable Billy Miller, continued, because it hasn't finished yet, continued by the Democrat Labour Party, whoever was there. That way, too, you can erase a lot of problems. A lot of people are like, oh, I did this and I did that. So when you read the plot, you will see all the information there about who have started it, who have continued it, who have finished it.
And they could be ridiculous and say that as a taxpayer, the plaque should, there shouldn't even be a plaque. You're just supposed to, that's what you're paid to do.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay. But you know that's tradition to have that. But why is it?
Well, there's some traditions that really ain't really necessary.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, there's a tradition that we honor our people who would have done well, and we like to put statues of them, and we like to name buildings after them. And I've heard a couple of family members of Mr. Barrow say that he would not have wanted a statue after him. The Democrat mm-hmm. Labour Party did not put that statue there. The Barbarous Labour Party did. Of course, as the years have passed, I want to hear his ownership by young people in the DLP who don't know any better. But the whole point I'm making is that we do these things because, you know, it suits our purposes, our agenda, you know. But the reality is that that's public money that has been taken, and you have spent public money to do these things. So really and truly, where is there need for your plaque? That's just my real opinion, which doesn't matter.
It matters, but I can agree with you and the way you put it. And it's also something else too, because and I'm very serious about this. A lot of people have this, when they kind of the work that people does, have this domain mentality that have been existing for years. Mm. I want those people who plan the work and draw the beautiful drawings, that when you complete your beautiful drawing, a master will go down the dirt and dig the foundation and do it. Well, I'm basically saying that everybody should be recognized. Mm-hmm. And every man's job is important.
Every single man's job. And if you doubt that, just look at the country with all this garbage piled up. And then you realize that, you know, that if no one goes up there and cleans, that the whole country will get a bad name. Mr. P,
exactly.
Thank you for your sharing with us today. We got a move. We got a whole set of calls here. Have a great day. You're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Oh, Lord, a number of things. And, you know, the more you wait, the more things come up. But you just got to choose, be selective. One I can't ignore is the fact that you prefer this proportional representation. Well, about 40% of the population of Barbados rejected both parties. In my books, 40% is a greater majority than 30%. The majority of Barbadians have never voted for government in Barbados. 70% have always voted against the government, the incumbent. When you have 40% rejecting both, it means you have a systemic issue that 40%, you know, is not comfortable with. Why not address that issue rather than put the other party in, because you'll be getting more of the same? Why not address the fact that many Barbados are just not comfortable with the way things work?
Why not have compulsory voting so make everybody vote?
If everybody votes, and then what are they going to do? They're going to go down there and scratch on the paper and just destroy the vote. Because you have, you know, the last government, during the last election, I think the popular sentiment was choose the better of two evils. 5 years before, the sentiment on the ground was choose the better of two evils. 25 years ago, it was exactly the same. We got two evils, just choose the better. Why not just choose somebody that is good for a change? You had Mr. Lashley on the program earlier today. Why not ask him about, you know, Mr. Lashley, we had two lawyers vying for leadership of the party. what do you think? I mean, because we have been dealing with this lawyer party now for a very long time. What do you think about the relationship between the legal fraternity and the general population over the past few decades? Do you think that could be improved? And what have you done in your time to make sure that there is some improvement, if not only in the interaction, but certainly the image that people hold? Mr. Lashley? Oh, what do you think, Mr. Lashley, about the involvement of lawyers when it comes to the mortgages and loans from banks or the purchase of land? Do you really think that they are really necessary in these transactions anymore? I mean, Mr. Lashley, when you think about it, we have doctors who work for the government of Barbados to serve the public, to save lives. We got about 200 doctors in the polyclinics around the Barbados who earn public service salaries. Well, you don't think that we could have 200 lawyers about the place, too, that can do the same, too? Huh? Why is that you guys always believe that you are the guys who have the solutions to Barbados, and you don't even have the solutions for your own environment when it comes to the delivery of justice and the delivery of decisions, even delivery of decisions? Why is it lawyers always believe that because they can advocate on behalf of people, that they're not prepared to advocate on behalf of you and me in a court, but you can advocate on behalf of you and me in a parliament? I mean, you're missing something here. You're missing something when you believe that you can continue with this particular perspective and expect that Barbados will get something different when you go to the polls in another 3 or 4 years' time. It's more systemic than just the political system. It has to do with the people who put themselves forward to represent people. Maybe you're not the right people. Maybe you sound good. You look good, because Mr. Lash is a very handsome guy. He'll sure be handsome. But he is not the right person, nor is the whatever. You know, yeah, it has to be something greater than that. Proportional representation is not something that people should be concerning themselves with. They should be concerning themselves with the right kind of representation.
What is the right kind of representation?
The different interests that we have. We are Barbadians. We are West Indians. We are black and white. We're human beings. But we have separate interests. What is important to you may necessarily be in conflict to what is important
therefore,
to me.
So therefore, let's put some form and fashion on it.